This audio production is brought to you by the Islamic Institute of Toronto.
كيف شيخ تفضل إن شاء الله تعالى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My dear brothers and sisters, it's my pleasure once again to welcome you to another episode in our series Illuminate Your Life, 101 Prophetic Traditions. And today we are taking a very important tradition. It goes with the hadith on an-niyyah, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. You know, both these traditions go together. So let me read the Arabic and then translate and explain the meaning of this important tradition, which has been considered as a fundamental, a foundational text in Islam by our scholars. And Aisha Umm al-Mu'mineen قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Aisha, Allah be pleased with her, narrates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever innovates a practice that is extraneous to this matter of ours, that is outside this matter of ours, it must be rejected. This is a hadith reported by Bukhari, Muslim, and others. But the wording I have used comes specifically from Sahih Muslim, the collection by Imam Muslim. Aisha is the narrator of this hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha. She was the mother of the faithful. She was the beloved wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her by the inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when she was still young. And he mentored her to become one of the greatest scholars and transmitters of the prophetic legacy. So the wisdom, the question that comes to your mind, my mind, why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married such a young person, a girl? The answer is the Prophet was supposed to mentor her to succeed, to pass on the legacy, his legacy of knowledge, the inheritance of the prophecy. She was reputed for her oratory, mastery of tafsir, hadith, jurisprudence, fatwa, Arabic literature, and even medicine as practiced at the time. You know, it's not something divine, but the medicine that was practiced, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended people to practice, you know, make use of whatever medicine was available as practiced in Arabia at the time. She was, Aisha radhiyallahu anha, was one of the most prolific transmitters of hadith. The other day we mentioned Abu Huraira was, but there is research going on. They established that Aisha radhiyallahu anha even surpassed Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu. Unanimously, she is recognized as a source of reference by the companions and successors in regards to many matters, especially in matters relating to the intimate details of the private life of the Prophet. And of course, you know, the legacy of Aisha is that from her university, if you may call it, we have more than 200 scholars who graduated. They transmitted her knowledge. Some of the most prominent scholars in the next generation were students of Aisha. She died in Medina and she's buried in Jannatul Baqi. Now the hadith is talking about bid'ah, man ahdasa fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu. So the question comes, what is a bid'ah? The definition of bid'ah, according to Imam Shatibi, is anything innovated in religion with the intent of extreme devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody is inventing a practice because he thinks that by doing, introducing this practice, he can come closer to Allah. So he is not satisfied with already what already given, already ordained, already prescribed. So he thinks that he has a better way, better new method of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyway, the definition that Imam Shatibi, his definition confines bid'ah exclusively. This is very important for us. Many people misuse the word bid'ah. They use it as a blanket term to condemn anything they don't like. Somebody came to me in foundation and said, you know, we have this podium. So somebody comes to me, why have you introduced this podium into the masjid? You want to follow George Bush? Because, you know, that was the time he was the president and he used to use the podium to address. So he thought by bringing the podium into the masjid, you are committing a bid'ah. But of course, that is wrong because the definition of bid'ah is exclusive. The bid'ah word exclusively to areas of religion and worship. And that is confirmed by other varying readings of the same report tradition where we... in fi deenina hada, in this religion of ours, fi amrina aw deenina, in another narration, in this matter or religion of ours. So now coming to another scholar defining it, he goes into the details category, categorizes bid'ah based on the judgment that we are going to use. Imam Shah Ibn Abdus Salam, who is known as Sultanul Ulama, the emperor of scholars, one of the greatest scholars in Islam, he classified bid'ah into five categories. Wajibah, obligatory. So bid'ah becomes, according to him, this, of course, he is using the word bid'ah as a custom, as a practice, new practice. So it can be obligatory, like teaching grammar, language, or other science, teaching tajweed. All of these are compulsory because essential for understanding religion. Likewise, setting up essential services and even teaching sciences, medicine, and other things without which community cannot function properly, they become obligatory. And the forbidden bid'ah innovation, adding rituals that are not prescribed. Specifically, the Prophet in the Hadith we are reading is addressing this, adding rituals that are into religion that are not already prescribed. Likewise, heretical ideas and beliefs like denying the divine decree, Qala'ullah, like some heretical sects, or considering imams as infallible. Infallible, because no one is infallible except the Rasulullah, who is protected from error by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an innovation. Recommended practice, bid'ah is Tarawih prayer. It's a good practice. Even though Prophet did not organize prayer in Jama'ah, he did establish the prayer, and he did not. I mean Tarawih prayer in congregation. So this, the Sahaba understood that the Prophet could not continue congregational Tarawih prayer because he thought Allah would make it obligatory. So after the death of the Prophet, they thought it's okay to do that. That will facilitate more people to listen to the Quran. So this was introduced by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and the Sahaba agreed. Likewise, printing and publishing books, setting up schools and hospitals, all of these are recommended. And of course, there are undesirable innovations like decorating mosques. Today we see people weighing with one another in building more beautiful mosques. This is something undesirable. It's not recommended. Likewise, beautifying mushafs and wasteful spending habits on weddings and celebrations. Sometimes it may become haram, especially when practiced in a milieu where there are people starving. So that is a priority, it cannot be ignored. And of course, then there are permissible innovations like comfort, use of comforts and inventions to make life easy. Bid'ah is condemned. Bid'ah in religion is condemned because religion has been perfected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Today I have perfected your religion for you, completed it, and I have completed my favor upon you and have approved Islam as a religion for you. So the religion is complete. It has Allah has ordained what the religion completely prescribing it for us, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained it for us in detail. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرَ الْحَدِيِّ هَدِيُّ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. The best speech is the book of Allah. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the worst matters are innovations. And every innovation is a deviation from the straight path. And the Prophet also said, this is a very important statement of the Prophet. Irba ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu narrates, the Prophet said, قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْلَى. In one narration it is, عَلَى الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْلَى. But in this one, عَلَى الْبَيْلَى. But the meaning is the same. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِغُ وَنْهَا إِلَّا بَعْدِ إِلَّا هَالِكَ. I have left you on a broad highway. Its night is as clear as the day. Only a loser will wander off from it, you know, from this highway and stick to and go to the deviant paths. Since religion is complete, we are not allowed to add to religion or take away anything from it. There is no sin in Islam worse than shirk. That is the most heinous of sins. The first and foremost cardinal sin is shirk, and next comes bid'ah. Why bid'ah? It is said there is nothing more pleasing to shaitan than bid'ah, innovation in religion. You know why? Because a sinner might feel remorse later on and he may repent. But in the case of an innovator committing bid'ah, he is doing so because he thinks by doing this practice, he is getting closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is being more pious. So he may not repent unless he recognizes that what the hand is a bid'ah, and he recognizes the gravity of the sin of bid'ah. Since bid'ah is exclusive to worship, we are not allowed to condemn customs and practices that have no bearing on religion. Like, it's not bid'ah if we do not follow the customary habits of the Prophet. Many times people think that it is a sunnah to use toothstick miswak or carrying a staff. Like, I have seen a convert to Islam who is 25-year-old young man in the university carrying a staff because he thinks it's a sunnah to have a staff. And eating while sitting on the floor, many people consider it a sunnah. It's a practice of the Prophet. Likewise, cherishing squash. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat, love squash. And he used to love eating shoulder meat or wearing a turban. All of these are customs and practices. But if somebody doesn't follow that, he is not committing a bid'ah. Unfortunately, sometimes some scholars mistake a custom of the Prophet as a sunnah. So they think that by, you know, not following that, you are committing a bid'ah. So Ibn Hazm, one of the great scholars, he was mistaken. He thought that taking a nap after tahajjud before fajr is a sunnah of the Prophet. So if you don't do that, you are guilty of opposing the sunnah, committing a bid'ah, if you want to say. But Aisha corrected. She said, it's not a sunnah. Because Prophet did so because he was exhausted after long standing in the Tahajjud. So he took a little nap prior before Fajr. Likewise, Aisha Allah clarified, you know, there is a place when you come from Arafat, the Prophet stayed, you know, halted in a place, Abtah, Tahsib, they call it, you know, it's a sunnah according to some scholars. But Aisha Allah said Prophet rested in that place simply because he want to recuperate after that journey. So it is not considered a sunnah. So you see how Aisha Allah has corrected many of the misunderstandings. But clear examples of bid'ah. One of the gravest examples of bid'ah would be there are some people adding a sixth pillar or seventh article of faith. You know, sometimes they call it sixth pillar, like jihad. They say it's sixth pillar of Islam. Or other times, some others say it's a seventh article of faith. So, you know, articles of faith are five, and pillars of Islam, religion are Islam are five, and articles of faith are six. You cannot add or take away from them. Likewise, it's a bidah obliging people to sit to offer collective du'as. Of course, I am not saying if an imam, you know, make that collective du'a to teach people how to offer supplications, that is fine. To oblige people to sit there in such a way that if somebody stands up and doesn't participate in that, considering it a bid'ah, that is wrong. Because in the first place, Prophet never did this practice, the collective du'a after salah. And likewise, ritual of gathering on the 14th day after someone's death or observing the death anniversary as a ritual. These are all innovations, making tawaf around the graves of saints. Many people in various Muslim countries do that. They offer sacrifices on the graves, you know, for the sake of the saint, on behalf of the saint. And even some of them, you know, they may omit sacrifice on Eid al-Adha, but they will do sacrifices for the urs or the anniversary of the saint's death, seeking intercession from them, from the you know, saints on their graves. All of this is considered condemned, a bid'ah that to be condemned. And it is not bid'ah if somebody raise hands while offering supplications. You cannot say because the Prophet did not always raise hands, you cannot say it's a bid'ah. No, Prophet said whoever, you know, raises the hand out of humility as a beggar before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will not return their hands empty-handed. So it is okay. There is a basis for that. So if somebody want to do it all the time, except those places where you cannot raise your hand like that in prayer, but other times he may do that. Likewise, after salah, if you say to somebody, taqabbal Allah, it's not a bid'ah. It is you are wishing well. You are praying that Allah accept. Wishing someone a blessed Jummah Mubarak, or Ramadan Mubarak, or Umrah Mubaraka, or Maqboola, or Hajj Maqbool. These are not bid'ah. Likewise, if somebody is going for Hajj or Umrah, you say, pray for me. Or you pray, ask somebody to pray for you. That's not a bid'ah. Offering du'as on the grave. It's not a bid'ah to offer du'as on the grave. Even reading some parts of the Quran on the grave and invoking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the dead person, it's not a bid'ah. Likewise, volunteering to read the Quran for the benefit of the deceased is not a bid'ah. Because you know why? Such practices have a basis in the text and precedents. You know, people are, when it comes to other worldly matters, we are free to innovate as long as there are benefits from it and as long as there is nothing in the principles of Sharia against it. Now that's why companions introduced many new customs like compiling the Quran. Prophet did not compile the Quran. Codifying the Hadith, introducing administrative practices, setting up schools, hospitals, printing books, and setting up institutions, caravanserais, endowments for various services, including taking care of dogs, cats, and animals, So there is nothing wrong in this in type of innovations, because they do not pertain to religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand this religion in depth, and so that we practice the religion in the right way, as it has been ordained, it has been prescribed, as it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left it for us. Taraktukum malal mahajjatil bayda. I have left you on a broad highway, so let us stick to the highway and let us not deviate from it. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You have been listening to an audio production by the Islamic Institute of Toronto, Education for Virtuous Living. Please visit our website at www.islam.ca.